about the secret of revival. I do believe we need a true revival. Now, many of you are asking, Pastor, you preached about revival not too long ago. Yes, I did preach about revival, as when we looked in Acts, the fire of God upon the church, and we want the fire of God upon the church. And we've seen the way that it happened in the book of Acts is when they were unity in prayer, and they were focused, one vision, one mission, and they just focused in prayer, in unity, praying for the same thing. And then we see God had poured, the Spirit of God just moved in that place in Acts. But I want to continue speaking about revival, because I truly believe this is the time that we need revival. As we look around, there's things that's happening. There's things that's going berserk in this world. Are you with me this morning? Things are going all over the place. And if we don't have revival, if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are not going to succeed whatsoever. Are you with me? We're going to get ready, but there's some obstacles about to revival. And I want to share with you just two things about revival. There's some obstacles why revival does not happen. And then I'm going to get into the word today. Is that good? Is that good? Okay. For number one, the things that have obstacles to revivals is leadership hindrances. Sometimes leadership do not speak about revival. We don't talk about revival. We believe that revival was only done for the 1900s or 1800s. No, revival happens today in 2019. The same Spirit that was there when the beginning of time is the same Holy Spirit today. We can't put a limit on God. We can't stop preaching about revival. We can't stop preaching about the Holy Spirit, because He is still alive and active today in 2019. Are you with me this morning? So what happens? Leaders do not preach and teach about the Word of God in power. Even that, they forget the word power. They forget about the Holy Spirit. They forget about the anointing of God upon the life of a person. And then they wonder why there is no revival in the churches. Because if there's no revival in the churches, because you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But when you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you believe in the move of the Holy Spirit, revival happens. Revival occurs in the church. Revival happens in the lives of people. So what's one obstacle that happens when revival doesn't happen is because of leadership hindrance. Leadership stopped that revival. The second thing is, oh, we're not just attacking the leaders here for a moment. Congregations don't believe in revivals any longer. It was done in the past. It's not done today. That can be an obstacle to revival in the congregation of God's people. A congregation love and love on tradition and interferes with revival. Let go of your tradition and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit if you want to see a nation revived with Jesus Christ. You need to let go of tradition. We need to let go of things and let the Holy Spirit move among the people of God. The only way the Holy Spirit, we can see a son or a daughter revived, alive in Christ, is when we believe in revival. If we don't believe in revival, nothing will happen. And congregation are focused so much about other things instead of really relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival is needed. When is it needed? It's needed, of course, but it's most necessary needed at this time in 2019. There are many people that you and I are backslidden or away from Christ. Do we need revival? So I want to go with you a story today. It's a well-known story. We all know this story. You must have heard it 10 times, 100 times. If you serve the Lord for 30 years plus, you must have heard this message 150 times of your life. But I want to bring it out one more time. And I shared about this text in a different form last year and the year before. I spoke about an ordinary man with this extraordinary faith. You know who that is? Oh, Lord. It was Elijah. So I want to speak again about Elijah, but there's something about the scripture that I want to bring out, the secret of revival. What did he do? Though, remember one thing, the one prayer, fire came on the altar. Just one prayer. But he had to do something before he received that revival. And that's what we're going to look at today. Are you with me this morning? I would like to take you to that story of Elijah. In the most difficult times and most difficult and dark times, God always sends a light shining for His glory. Days of war, days of desperation, God always wants someone to stand for Him. Are you ready to stand for Christ in 2019? There's things that's happening around this world, and Christians, instead of standing for Christ, we run away from Christ. We must stand for Christ. A man and a woman can be a champion for him in these dark days. And here in 1 Kings, we're going to be looking at today, a man called Elijah appears suddenly upon the scene. And he doesn't have a huge introduction, and he doesn't have a lot to say about his life previous here, but he comes on the scene during a time of Israel's most troubling times. And one writer calls him God's lightning in dark days of Ahab's rules, because Elijah suddenly appears at that moment there. Meaning of Elijah is, the Lord is my God. My God is Yahweh. Elijah had not bowed his knee to Baal. He loved God supremely all his heart and wanted only to obey the Lord God Almighty. And Elijah, we know that he was a prophet. He was a Hebrew prophet, a miracle worker. With them, as we sing that song, a working miracle God. But a prophet of a miracle worker. And the days of Elijah were dark days. Is that we are talking today, these are dark days today. But Elijah stood firm. And when he stood firm against the evil, when he stood firm against the darkness of the world at that time there, God sent a revival. This is time for the church to rise up and to stand for Christ. And when we stand for Christ, when we stand against evil, God will pour his spirit among his people. If he done it with Elijah, he can do it today. Remember, the Holy Spirit has never changed and he will never change. We also see in this dark time in 2019, these dark times, we see much opposition. Problem that people are going against each other. Are you with me? There's people going against each other all over the world. We also see that people are falling false prophets. And the Bible wants us to be alert. Correct and sound doctrine is crucial to salvation and growth and spiritual maturity. It comes as no surprise that God warns many of us. And many times even in the scripture, he warns us to be aware of false teachings. Just because it sounds good, just because it tickles your ear, it doesn't mean it's right. Matthew tells us, Matthew 24:24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And how are we going to defeat this? How are we going to stand firm on this? The next verse we say it here, watch out. So that's what you must do. When you're going somewhere and you see a sign, it tells you watch out. What are you going to do? You're going to watch out. You're going to be alert. You're going to be careful. You're going to think twice before making that step, before going into that ditch. You want to say, what? It's telling you to watch out. It's the same thing what the scripture is telling us right here. He says, watch out for false prophets. Be careful. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are precious wolves, ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Watch out. Just because it sounds good, it doesn't mean it's right. We got to do our scripture. We got to read our word. We got to dig into God's word. We got to ask God for wisdom. We got to go into just seek the face of God. Come and meet with God day after day after day, because times are dark today. And we've seen this time and time again. People, you know, even people are following false prophets. And are there false prophets into 2019? Yes, they are. And I'm not afraid of saying that. They are people who are false prophets. And they come like they're so beautiful and so nice and so eloquent when they speak. But is it biblical when they speak? Is it correct from the word of God? And that's what you need to examine yourself. So watch out for those false prophets. Yes, there are people in 2019. They're going against each other. And there are people who follow a God who is dead. Yes, these days are dark days in 2019. And we need a revival. We need a revival in our lives. To give you some history on this text that we've read, that we're going to be reading today. It was the days of kingdom was divided because of the civil war. We have the southern and the northern kingdom. In the north, which was Israel, and a series of kings took the throne, and everyone were evil kings that destroy. There were evil kings at that time. And we see King Ahab and Jezebel. We know Jezebel. Jezebel is like a snake. Very, very evil people. And Ahab and Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord. And we see in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25, there was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to the devil in the eyes of the Lord. It was a bad man, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. She was a murderess. She was revengeful. Basically, she was a wicked woman. Do you know any wicked people in the life, in this world? There are some wicked people in this world. But that's nothing compared to what you've seen and hear, killing the people of God, wicked woman of God. Not a woman of God at all. Killing women and men and children, a wicked woman. Ahab and Jezebel were evil people. So why is there so much evil? Because false God ruled the land in that time. Nation filled with violence and murdered all evil, idol worship and destroyed of all nations. Nation. You might be telling me we are not worshiping idol today. What is an idol? An image or representation of a god used of an object of worship. An image of a material object. In the Bible, in the dictionary, tells that anything in our heart that we worship more, that is an idol. If you worship TV more, if you watch TV more than God itself, it's an idol. If you're going to go to a concert and you love Kiss, it's an idol. If you have an 8x10 and my face on your wall and you look at me every day, it's an idol. By the way, I did have someone in the other church who had a picture of me, okay? Just to let you know that. 8x10, by the way. So we see that God was angry with the nation, and God was provoked with anger with all evil that was happening at that time. In 1 Kings 16:33, says, Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord. So we see that the anger right there, God was getting upset of all this, with the evil that's going on around the world. Yes, church, you and I need a revival. We need a revival in 2019. We need a revival at New Hope Christian Assembly. We need a revival right here in Bonnydoom, in this area, in this community, in Canada itself. We need a revival, and the move of the Holy Spirit must flow in this Canada play, in this Canadian play, not only in Canada, but over the world. We need a revival. We need to wake up and seek God daily, my friends. Brother Joseph said, I'm going to be just excited, but I'm just starting. What is revival? Revival is when God shows up. Revival is when the sovereignty work of the Almighty God. Revival is when we fall in love with Jesus once again. Jesus all over again, Vance, he tells us that. Revival does not begin with a joyous singing. It begins with conviction and repentance on the part of a Christian. Revival is what we need. I quote again from Charles Spurgeon, if we want revivals, we must revive our reference for the Word of God. Believers, children, we have lost to read the Scriptures. We are just living a Christian life by hearing people. Dig into the Word of God. Put your face into the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you when you read the Word of God. There's false preachers out there. Don't you get fooled. Go to the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you when you're reading the Word, because He is active and alive today. Are you with me today? How many of you know this? There's many people out in this world. There's many preachers out in this world that don't even open the Word of God. And you take it, oh, it felt so good today. Oh, it felt so good today? Without the Word of God? There's a problem. If we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. Plunge yourself into God's Word. The Bible tells in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, we are the people of God, we are believers, no? He's not talking about unbelievers here. If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. Come on, sing it. Let's read it together. Would humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If my people. Church, we want Christ to be the center of our lives, filling us with the fullness of His blessings, and He's getting us on fired up for Christ, with Christ, and in His Word. This is what you and I need today. More of Christ, more of His Word, more of the Holy Spirit, and you and I will see the revival. In the time of Elijah, they desperately needed a revival. There was something about Elijah. He was courageous, full of faith, and willing to stand firm, to go against evil. It is not as easy to take a stand for God at the time. It is not easy to take a stand in 2019 today. We're seeing all these things that's happening around the world about abortions, but are Christians really standing for that, against that? Are we really standing against that? There was a video that was posted not too long ago as they wanted to ban weapons, guns and machine guns. But they did a stat that there was only approximately 5,000 people that died that year because it was in the United States of a weapon. But do you know how many babies are being aborted per year? Do you know in Canada there's around 17,000 abortions per year? Now just I'm talking about Alberta, 17,000. All of Canada, 100,000 abortions per year was the last stats I've seen. Do we get 17,000 deaths by a gun? Are we standing up against abortion? It's hard. Because we're fighting against this evil world. We're fighting against the evil of this enemy, just deceived people. So at that time, it's not talking about abortion here, but Elijah had to stand firm. And he had to believe in God to help him. And at that time, they desperately needed a revival. They desperately needed a revival. Elijah was courageous, bold, and a man full of faith. If we turn to me, with me in 1 Kings 17:1. We'll be starting from there. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. Okay, these are hard words. Don't laugh at me. Said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve there near you, do nor reign in the next few years except at my word." This is boldness, telling Ahab there will be no reign for the next few years. That's bold. Say, I come to you and say, there's going to be no more of this happening. That's pretty bold to tell him this. This is a man who was killing people. It's pretty bold to say that. But what is the secret of this man's revival? What is the secret of revival? How did he do this? And the first thing is this. Elijah knew the power of God. Yeah, how it says, let's read it again. "And as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives who I serve." He knew that God lived. He believed in the power of God. He stood in the presence and believed that God is a God, that He is the only true God. So he knew he lived, and he knew that he's going to call on God. He believed in the power of God. And when he believed in the power of God, great things happened. Revival doesn't happen because people start believing in the power of humanity instead of the power of God. But when we believe in the power of God, when we really believe that He is alive and true and well today, so he stood firm in His presence, in the presence of God. He believes, I believe in the power of God. Oh, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives who I'm served. Do you know who you're serving? Are you serving a God who is dead or a God who is alive? If we serve a God who is alive today, you and I will see things happening. He believed in that. Ahab and Jezebel assumed that God was dead and buried in a tomb in Israel. However, Elijah knew that his God was alive and well. He understood the power of God's Spirit. A supernatural man, Elijah, knew that God was alive, and he knew that our Savior, and we know that our Savior lives. Yes, Christ is alive, and his living presence is in us. You must believe in the power of God. It's not the power was when you put your finger in a box or when you touch like electricity wires. Not that kind of power. But it's a power that lasts forever and ever. And that power has never changed. It's never changed in 2019. It's the same God, and he lives. He lives. And at times, you and I may face that you are serving God alone. Elijah faced that there were people against him, and but he stood firm and believed on God's power and his presence. One person, Pastor, he was just alone. But what can I do, Pastor? I am just alone. Everybody turned away from me. Everybody rejected me. I'm alone now. I'm just in a place of solitude. I'm alone. Because I've served Jesus, because I am a believer today, everybody has abandoned me. Believe in the power of God. God is still there today. It is difficult to be alone. It is difficult, but Elijah was alone at that time with evil people around him, but he stood firm in the presence of God. He believed in the power of God. He said he's alive. He believed in that and stood firm, and we see the result of that later on. We often hear about the power of God in the scriptures, full of examples of his power in action. He is the great God, mighty and awesome. We see it in Nehemiah. We are taught to trust in his power to get us through trials and opposition. And at times, hateful persecution that happens, or the loss of a loved one, leaning to trust on the power of God is part of living the Christian life. We must rely on the power of God. And that same power that Elijah trusted God is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That same power is still there. That same power who raised you from the dead once you were blind, today you see. And I want to remind you, that power is still there. That power of God is still there. The Holy Spirit is still there moving. Revivals doesn't happen because we come and we've looked at man instead of the power of God. And we look at man and look at their abilities and look at how they're speaking and look at the way how intelligent they are. We're losing focus. Where the power comes from is from God itself. The power is from God. Do you believe in the power of God? How can we learn to trust in the power of God? First of all, we choose to remember the thing that God has done in our lives. Bible tells us in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face, all remember the wonders that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. Look what he has done. Remember the wonders. Remember that day you were lost. Remember that day you were blind. Remember that day you were going to hell, and Christ saved you. Prayer is also another part over here. In relying on the power of God, and as we pray, that will be done. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and you will ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks finds, and anyone who knocks, it will be opened. Isn't that scripture just for the time of the Bible? Is it even for us today? If we knock, isn't someone going to open the door? And is Christ will open the door? If you seek him, you will find him. So we see that prayer is also an important part of our life. Because the second thing is, he believed in the power of God. He believed in the power of the Spirit of God to move in that place when he was there. But he also, Elijah, practiced prayer. You want to see revival? You will not get revival if you don't practice prayer. We called not too long ago, and I want to share this with you. I want to share in my heart. 2 weeks ago, we called out for at least a month, we have called out a prayer service for praying for the unsaved souls. I was a little bit disappointed when only 4 of us showed up in the church to pray for unsaved souls. Where are we going, church? There's people who are dying without Christ. There's your children. There's your nephews and nieces. And we can't take an hour and pray for the unsaved soul. It broke my heart to see that. It really did. My encouragement to every one of us is when we call out something like this, it doesn't have to be a struggle. Automatically, you're supposed to go and say, we want to pray. It has to come. We got to go back to our first love. Every one of us, we must go back to our first love. Remember that first love? You did everything. So Elijah was a man of prayer. And he prayed in a private place. And when he prayed in a private place, and we'll see through the scriptures, God showed up in a public place. How can God show up in a public place if we don't spend time in a private place? Let's continue. I'm getting to my point here today. He practiced prayer. And Elijah prayed earnestly, the Bible tells us. You see, that's James 5:17. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Earnestly, with sincere, intense, with conviction, seriously he prayed. And when he prayed, it didn't rain. The power of prayer. He prayed earnestly with passion in the public place, in the private place. And by doing so, the power of God was evident. When you and I do the same thing, the power of God will be evident. You want to see revival? You got to pray in a private place. Beyond Today magazine, on How's Your Prayer Life, says this, and I quote, "You make time for what you value most." Think of those words. If you value, you're going to make time if you love soccer. You're going to make time if you love hockey. But you're going to make time if you love prayer. You're going to make time if you like the word. You're going to make time if you want to see a revival. You make the time. So what you like the most, what you value the most, you will make time for it. What do you want to see? I know, you know, we are tired Christians. But don't give up. Don't give up. We're putting our priorities in the wrong place. I want the church filled, not from other Christians, from other churches. I want the church filled with people seeking the face of God and raising their hands above the Lord, and our children here in the front dancing in the spirit of the Lord and exciting for God. That's what I want to see. And how are we going to see that? Is when you and I spend time in prayer, believing in the power of God, and believing that God will pour out His Spirit among His people. God is going to pour out His Spirit. If you hear or not, He will do it. But I would like to see it together as a whole, as a church, as a family of God, seeking the face of God together. So how was your prayer life? What do we value most? If we want, we value most in our relationship with God, our Father in heaven, then we need to set aside regular time during each day to pray. It can be 5 minutes. Do you spend time with God? Do you take 5 minutes a day? Do you, out of your routine, and say, I want to take 5 minutes today and spend time? I know we're quite busy, but there is no good excuse not to spend time with God. Because every breath you take is a gift of God. You make time so what you value most. Elijah had passion and prayed earnestly. And do we have the same passion? We will have no power in our prayer life if we have no passion in prayer. That's pretty good, huh? I'm going to repeat that. We will have no power in our prayer life if we have no passion in prayer. The next slide is right there. That's my quote, by the way. How was your prayer life? Think about it. Just think about it for a moment. Let's go on. And that's what God told Elijah to leave in verse 3. He says, leave here and turn eastward and hide the Kirith Raven in east of Jordan. And why did he tell him to leave? It was to protect him. And it was to provide him. It was to give him food at that time. So he told him to leave. Watch this. It's very important. Verse 4 and 5. You would drink from the brook, and I would direct the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord has told him. He went to the Kirith Raven east of Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat. Oh, who loves bread and who loves meat? I love that stuff. So in the morning, bread and the meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. God is a God who supplies. Huh? But he told him to go there. It's not because they could have been afraid, but he told him to go there to protect him and to feed him, to give him that strength again. Watch this. You see, Elijah had some private time. He was getting ready for that. God gave him the protection, water, food. So he was getting ready for the public now. You see that? Because now he sent him to go there. Again, God, they give him food, ravens, amazing, bread and meat. Why? So he's in his private time. He's spending time with God. He's re-energizing himself. He's praying with God. He's asking God to be with him. He's asking God to give him the strength. Why? Because now when he's in front of the public, in front of one person with the 450 people, prophets of Baal, with one prayer, God sent the fire. It's amazing, huh? One prayer. Can we do that? But we must go to that private room first. We must spend time in that private room and just be there. And he tells us to go to the brook. He tells us, every single one of us. He tells us, Ray. He tells us, Roberto. He tells us, anybody in this place here, take some time. Go there. Wait there. Get into the Word. Pray. Ask God to move in your life. You will be strengthened. And then when you come to church on a Sunday, we are ready to see God move. But how can God move if we don't spend time in the prayer, in the private prayer time? You expect just a little 25 cent put in a machine, you get a candy cane, a gum that comes out on a Sunday morning? We got to work at it. You got to go work and get the 25 cents. You want to see God move, we got to spend time in prayer. He just doesn't come here and come on a Sunday morning and says, Lord, show up. We need to spend time in prayer. And God will show up. He loves to do that. He loves to show up. Just leave here and turn, and he's all of a sudden, there's bread supplied with food and water and meat and all that stuff, and he drank. Now Elijah was ready for the challenge. He prayed that he got his strength, and now God tells him what? To go back. Here it is. Go at once, in verse 7 to 9, in 1 Kings 17. Go at once, he goes, and he went. And earnest now, he prayed passionately. Then he leaves and depends on God. God has to speak to us first before speaking to our generation. He needs to speak to us privately in a private place. And we need to spend time at the brook trusting and relying in Him and in Christ, in God. Receiving Him is working in our character. Working on a character doesn't come, oh, I want to work on my character. Working on a character, spending time with Him. And when He speaks to you, work on it. If He tells you to change, change. We're never going to succeed. We're never going to go ahead. We're the same as yesterday. We got to be different every day of our lives and grow closer with Christ every single day of our lives. We want to see revival, but we cannot see revival if there's no time in prayer, private time. We can't see revival if our character are messed up and be so prideful. We can't see revival on that. We must work on those areas of our life. Spend time at the brook, trusting, relying on Him. Elijah knew how to pray earnestly. And often we have no power in prayer, it's because we have no passion in our prayer. And Elijah, a man of prayer, therefore God uses him and stands firm. Stand firm, friends. Stand firm, New Hope Christian Assembly. Don't you ever quit seeking the face of God. God, help us to be faithful to the message that He's even telling us and sharing us today. Church, God is speaking to us through His Word. Stand firm on His Word today. And Elijah, courageous, surrendering to God. After a long time, in chapter 18, after a long time, the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. And go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself on Ahab. Elijah went before the king Ahab, and we know the rest of the story. The challenge begins. Elijah said to Ahab, let's see which God will answer. And you see that they even made fun of him. He says, oh, prepare this altar. No, I want to just shorten it down. Prepare this altar. And he says, prepare it and all this. And then put some jugs of water right there. And you see Elijah with just one prayer, God responded. We must believe in the power of God. We must have this passion in our prayer. We must spend time in our private time at home with the Lord. So to see things happening in a public place, we must do those things. Elijah's seen a revival. Elijah's seen the fire of God fall upon the altar is because of that. He believed. He trusted. He relied. And he spent time in the presence of the Father. In 1 Kings 18, 28, 38, and I'm going to read it. So they shouted out louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as they were accustomed until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the day of the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to the people, here it is. Elijah said to the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one of each of the tribes descending from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord has come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built the altar in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two sheaves of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it in the offering on the wood. And he says, do it again. And he said, and then do it again. Do it the third time. And he ordered. Then he said, the third time again. And the water ran down from the altar and even filled the trench. And at the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah, here it is, verse 36, stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am the servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, and the wood of the stones and the soil also licked up the water in the trench. Yes, God responded. Revival is not about praying loud. Revival is not about shouting or jumping or running back and forth. He didn't scream. He was a praying man, a passionate man. He believed in his power, and God responded. One single prayer, and the fire fell upon the altar. And says, and the Bible tells us in verse 39, it says, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, He is good. The Lord, He is good. When God pours His Spirit among the people, is also because other people will see what's happening in your life. And when God demonstrates His power, people will fall down on their knees and cry out to the Lord, you are good, God. You are good, God. Are you with me this morning? The Lord sent revival to His people. And my prayer is that God will raise up men and women today that will be used for His glory. There will be men and women of passion in prayer for glory of God and stand firm for His righteousness. And I believe we are all searching for revival. But let me conclude in saying this. We need to have passion in our prayer life to see God's power. Do you want to see revival? That's pretty cold. Do you want to see revival? What do we must do? What must we do? Can revival come by just sitting down? Can revival come by just staying at home and watching TV and watching a preacher from TV? Revival comes when the people of God come together and praying together seeking and praying with passion. Passion, just a passionate heart for the Lord. Earnestly seeking Him. And when we're earnestly seeking Him, I want to go. I know, I bet sometimes I might be repetitive, but I want to go back to the days that we were at the altar. And you heard our tears drop to the on the altar. Do you remember those days? Especially the ones of 70 and over? But you remember those days? When we prayed at the altar. Sunday morning service was actually a bigger attendance than the Sunday morning service. Don't you want to go back to that day? Yes. You know, at times we're saying, we want a big church. We want all these programs going around. And everybody comes and has an experience in our church. I want people to come to have experience with Christ, not with a program. The program does not change a person's life, but Christ transforms a person's life. The Holy Spirit transforms a person's life. We should not and never put a limit on the power of God. We should never put a limit on the Holy Spirit. We allow the Holy Spirit to move, because it's only the Holy Spirit that changes the lives of people. It's only the Holy Spirit that transforms. It's only the Holy Spirit that raises people from the dead. It's only the Holy Spirit that brings people to Christ closer and closer every single day. Remove those programs. I want to see if every church will remove programs. I guarantee you, churches will be closed because they're not relying on the Holy Spirit. They're relying on the program. They're relying on the programs. We wonder why our church is not moving or not growing fast, because we're relying on the Spirit of God, not on programs. And the enemy attacks. And he attacks the church. And he attacks us because we don't believe. We're not standing firm on the things of the world, but we're standing firm on the things of God. And the enemy does anything in his power 24 hours a day. He will use people to go against each other, to make us hurt, so we can lose focus. And the one main reason is Jesus. You are here because someone prayed for you. And I guarantee you, it wasn't that one prayer on that table and says, "Oh Lord, we just pray for Glenora today." No, they must have spent hours and time with passion, earnestly seeking the face of God. "Oh no, Lord, save Roberto." No, I remember those days and nights that my mom was at the altar at her home and praying and crying out to God. And when she did that day after day, day in, day out, any time of the day, any time of the evening, God responded. And He poured out His Spirit upon my life and gave me life. Remove those programs for a moment. What we're going to be doing in our church, men and women ministry, in children's ministry, in worship team ministry, in every ministry that we have, we're going to rely on the Holy Spirit more than a program. We're going against the current over here. Because we can look around and there's a lot of big churches and they're doing some good things. Programs are good. It's necessary for the church. But does a program really change your life? The Holy Spirit does. We need revival. We need God to pour His Spirit one more time upon His people to revive us. Revive us, O God. Revive Canada, O Lord, more than ever before. God is moving in other churches because they're relying on the Holy Spirit. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. Revival is when God shows up. Revival is the work of the Almighty God. Yes, church, you and I need revival. Let's all stand here for a moment. I don't know, Sister Monique has a last song, if she has one, or else I'll close. Do we have a song? And I want you to just close. Just every eye closed for a moment, every head bowed. Just reflect on what God is trying to tell us this morning through His Word. If someone has Christ in their life, it doesn't have to be forced. When we sing a song or when we read the Bible and it tells us to raise our hands or just to pray, it has to come naturally. Because Christ is in our hearts and we just love Jesus. So this morning as we sing this last song with Monique, every eye closed, every head bowed. Just take a moment just to spend time with Him. Spend time with Jesus. And these are the words I want you to say. Very simple. Yes, Lord, we need a revival. Pour out Your Spirit among us. Yes, Lord, we need a revival. Pour out Your Spirit among us. So when we sing this song, let that be your prayer. Holy Spirit, just come down upon our life once again. Let's sing together. Spirit.